This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Thanks to Nicholas. We believe it's 14 named hurricanes so far this season. Absolutely insane. Will there be a booster shot or no? Who will be able to get them? It's all still in limbo, but we may know some answers soon enough. Hey, everybody. Once again, Kate Delaney, thanks for hanging with us here on this show. Lots to talk about. At the Capitol, speaking of battening the hatches, they are doing that. Those giant, ugly fences are being put up once again. Cameras are being installed because of a march that's happening on Saturday. And while that was going on, there was a man in a truck who tried with a bayonet to go toward the Capitol once again, actually toward the Democratic headquarters he was headed. His father says that he was mentally ill. He didn't think that he had anything to do with being revved up by what happened on January 6th. So he was, of course, arrested. And in the meantime, those fences were going up and everything else that the Capitol can do to securely put itself out of potential harm. Because the thought is, could this get rowdy, as it is a crowd protesting the arrest of the insurrectionists and what happened on January 6th. Tuesday, by the end of the day, Gavin Newsom should know whether he is still the governor of California or not. Can you believe it? Voters are casting their ballots. Just one day left to vote in that recall election. He's only the fourth governor in the United States history and the second in California to face a recall election. That's how rare it is. And will he be recalled? What do the pollsters think? Ask again later if you shake the magic eight ball. Nobody really knows for sure, because there are a lot of Californians who are frustrated with what's happened under Newsom, especially throughout the pandemic, economically, and the absurdity of some of the red tape of California. A lot of Californians leaving California. So this is a very, very big election for Gavin Newsom. And, you know, even if he ends up with the most votes, the way this works is, and the voters just answer, you know, two simple questions. Do you want to recall Governor Newsom? If the governor's recalled, who do you want to replace him? Caitlyn Jenner? She's one of the 46 candidates running to replace Newsom. And here's the thing. If Newsom is recalled, it happens with 48 or 49% of voters casting ballots to keep him. The next governor gets 15 to 18% of the vote they're in. Wow. So he could receive more votes than anyone else in the race, but still lose his job with somebody who just gets a fraction of the votes. And the pandemic really hurt him. His response to the pandemic, the off and on pulling back and then being seen without a mask at a party where he was telling everybody to mask up, and there was a curfew at one point in Northern California and in Southern California. That really, really hurt him too as well. So who knows if he survives this or not, since his approval ratings started to dip starting in the summer. And so you got a reality television star, Caitlyn Jenner. You have Larry Elder, who's a conservative radio talk show host. He's gaining a lot of traction among conservative voters. In a recent poll at UC Berkeley, he got 18% of likely voters. That's the most of any of the Republican candidates. That could that he could be the guy. There's John Cox. He ran for governor in 2018, but he lost pretty badly to Newsom. So we'll see. And it's such a rare thing to even happen in the United States to think that this could happen twice in California. Wow. Yeah, and it really could. I think it's too hard to tell with anyone that I talk to in the business, out of the business, in the business of politics. They're not saying for sure because they're not saying off the record for sure because I think they don't feel that confident because you see one thing in a poll and then something different is happening. Yeah. Delta is testing our nerves and scaring half of us to death and then taking lives to boot. So a Washington Post survey that came out that I thought was interesting and worth mentioning again on the show shows that 20 of the largest school districts found that fewer are offering enough coronavirus screenings, and there's guidelines that are kind of vague, so there's been a surge of cases. 55 million kids, younger kids and teenagers pouring back into the classrooms, and it is an experiment. Can the schools stay open safely with this aggressive Delta variant or not? Some of the schools pulled back at the last minute. New York City, the nation's largest district, started on Monday. They say they think they can operate safely. They're very, very confident of it, they say. But some of the other school districts are really, really struggling with what to do and with some infections. So you've got 150,000 new infections daily, children making up a skyrocketing number of those since the start of the pandemic. Children have represented about 15% of infections, but that rate now is 27% for the week that ends September 2nd. Although severe illness is uncommon with some of the younger children. It doesn't mean none of them, because that has happened, but it's uncommon at this point. So there is no vaccine for those that wanted to get vaccinated, get their kids vaccinated if they're under 11 years old. But that's supposedly the next thing to come, along with these boosters, because the booster, it's not approved yet at this point, and there was the push that that's going to happen for sure. We should know by the 20th if that moves forward. I can't imagine it's not going to move forward because there's the push for that, but it has to be approved by the FDA. And then how many people are going to get the booster? We certainly have not hit the herd immunity number that was thrown out at the beginning of the pandemic once even the vaccines were made available. And then there's the other variants that are popping up left and right. I mean, we're just living under the umbrella of what comes next. What happens next? Hey, coming up on this show, I'll tell you what's coming up next. We got some great interviews for you, including the Man Cave. Yep, we got the Man Cave. Talk a little wine coming up around the bend. It's a good time for wine, isn't it? And also a conversation with a man in his 90s, Wilbur Shapiro, at the tail end of the show. Speaking of the Man Cave, what a wild weekend in the NFL. A lot of big upsets. Aaron Rodgers, the king of Green Bay, the NFL MVP, he was benched? What? Hang with us.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Brought to you by Bank of America. A recent Bank of America survey found 61% of college students practice saving. However, just 45% create and stick to a budget. Budgeting is a critical lifelong skill and allows you to save strategically. Aaron McCullen, Head of Deposit Products at Bank of America.
As a college student, it's all too easy to overspend and bust your budget. Every dollar counts when purchasing textbooks, restocking the fridge, or catching up with friends over dinner. When you head back to campus and activities ramp up, creating or updating your budget is critical. Also look for ways to start saving for the future, even if it's a small amount. Automatic saving tools like Bank of America's Keep the Change make it easy to incorporate savings into everyday college life.
Keep the Change rounds purchases made with a Bank of America debit card to the nearest dollar and transfers the change to a savings account. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/students.
Really excited to introduce you to Terrence Wolfe. You know that I am a wine person, and he has written a book called Wine 101, A Brief Introduction to Wine. You will devour this. Whether you're a novice, you just like to drink wine, I mean, it's just really fascinating what he's covered in the book. Terrence, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So what made you decide to write the book?
Well, I kept getting queries from my friends and colleagues about what wine they should serve with that steak barbecue or chicken dinner or something like that. And I always gave my opinion, and I decided it might be fun to write a book and have a little guide that people could take into a liquor store or something and maybe try something different rather than just the same old Cabernet Sauvignon or Chardonnay.
Yeah. How did you break it down? I mean, was it tough for you to decide what to leave in or out or no, because you understand wine and you understand, like you said, what goes with certain wines. Did you just go off of your knowledge that you already had?
Pretty much. I had, of course, a lot of reading, the history of wine. I have these wine books that are beautiful books, but they weigh like 50 pounds a piece. And so it's very difficult to break it down. But I had a theory that if I could break it down into the types, the major types of Marietta wines that are sold in the United States, that I could do something that would be reasonably short and yet informative enough that people could use it to select something different to have with dinner tonight or maybe just trying a different type of wine. Interest in wine is because, in my case at least, it has a lot of various flavors and types. There's an infinite variety of different types of wine. And so it was kind of fun to break it down into, I think I had 8 white wines, 8 red wines, and just broke it down that way.
For you, do you have a favorite wine or a couple of favorite wines?
Well, I like it. In the white wines, I like the Lori Maria. That's DeLoriMier. My French is a little dated. That's the baby white wines in the Alexander Valley. And I like Silver Oak also, making some of their wines in the Alexander Valley area. Well, I enjoy those two as an example. And they're reasonably priced. Silver Oak is a little more expensive. But the Cabernet Sauvignon are going to be obviously a little more expensive than other red wines.
What is it that you think makes a good wine? For you, what is a good wine?
A good wine is one where the tannins develop so that it's pleasant to drink. It doesn't have an astringent or sharp taste. And so I like to have a wine that's been a red that's been aged about 5 years. And if you're careful and you buy wines on the basis of quality and not on price, you can develop a cellar with some nice quality wines over a period of time, just by putting one or two decent wines away every month or so, and pretty soon you'll have a pretty nice cellar.
I like that. That's great advice. So really, when you look for wines, maybe it is too, but it certainly is about the aging, right?
Yes. Most wines now are meant for immediate consumption. So to find a special wine, I think, requires a good relationship with a decent wine merchant, some guy who will work out and steer you to what's good in the market and what's a good value. And I think that's obviously a fun way to go, too, because you can learn a lot more from other people usually than sitting around by yourself and going through a book.
Yeah. Boy, I agree with that. That's who you want to find for sure. And your book, again, Wine 101, A Brief Introduction to Wine, you can pick that up on Amazon or wherever great books are sold. What do you hope people take away from listening to our conversation?
Well, I hope they take away the idea that if they don't know anything about wine, this is a good place to start, because I cover a lot of material, just little suggestions in order to make the drinking experience more pleasurable and safer. I think that I would like those people who maybe have been drinking wine for a long time to consider trying some of the other wines besides the Cabernet or Pinot Noir.
Yeah, I like that idea, because then you can have them explore a little bit more, and I think that's part of the beauty of your book, no question about it. Again, it's Wine 101, A Brief Introduction to Wine. Terrence Wolfe, thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
All right, so for what it's worth, I'm going to throw this out there. I didn't know a lot about wine, and I decided, you know, I like beer. I like to put olives in my beer because I like that salty taste if I'm going to have beer. But I decided, I had the opportunity to learn how to make wine, so we decided to try to make wine. That is the quickest way to a divorce because, oh, it's so easy, all the things that you have to do. It was tough. It was tough to make the wine. It was interesting. The first batch turned out good. The second was just terrible. And so he's right. You find someone in the store. I mean, really, honestly, there's people that have great knowledge of a decent bottle of wine. And like you said, it doesn't have to be expensive. There's a good bottle of wine that I like. It's called Gru, and it's out of New Mexico. I rediscovered it when I was in New Mexico. And they have good Pinot Noir, and you get it for a song. I'm sure it's all over the country. I think it's pretty popular. So look for that. It's Gruet if you're into wine. But maybe you're not. Maybe you're a teetotaler to boot. So either way, wine is a great gift, though, right? If somebody drinks wine, there's a good bottle of wine that you can bring somebody, and it won't break the bank. All right, a couple of quick hits here under the category of what I like to say, odds and ends. I warned about this at the top of the show, but this whole idea of a hack into the iPhone, so you got an iOS 15, and get that update, even though they are a pain in the rear when you get all these updates on your phone, constantly redoing the apps, etc. But because of what's happened with the whole hacking and the chat apps and whatever, I would do it. Plus, it's got, I guess, more storage, and so all of that's good, because don't we all take thousands of pictures we have no idea what the pictures are of, and they're stored on our phone, and then you know how that crushes the battery, and supposedly that's going to help a little bit there. So anyway, that's probably what you want to do. Just my two cents on that, right? Travel has been cut down because some countries in Europe are saying no way, because they're seeing the Delta variant, what's happening in the U.S. or in their own countries. But there are still some that are open. I went through a whole list of them the other day. How about the U.K.? In England, they've decided not to require vaccine passports for entry into nightclubs and other crowded events in England. Initially, if you were going to England, it sounded like, oh, boy, there's just going to be, this is what's going to happen every place you go. You're going to have your little laminated card or not have a card, and you're going to be stuck. So apparently, that's not happening. So there you go. Hawaii, Honolulu, is requiring COVID vaccine or negative tests. They're really clamping down on this because they don't have room in ICU beds. They don't have a lot of them. Think of the islands. So they don't want to get into a situation where people are traveling there, which a lot of people are trying to do. There's cheap airline prices in some cases, and they don't want to end up in that kind of a situation, because already they've had too many cases that have popped up, and it's making the governor there very nervous. Made him nervous a couple of weeks ago, and the woman was arrested. This has happened a couple times in Hawaii after showing a fake Moderna vaccine card. It was spelled wrong even on the card, so that's a giveaway. By the way, if you do that and they catch you, it's a $5,000 fine and potential jail time if you do that. So it's not a good place to try and pull that out, if you know what I'm saying. We're going to the Man Cave next. How about that Monday night game? Las Vegas beating the Ravens rather narrowly. What about the rest of the NFL? You'll find out on the flip side.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Nicholas has become a Category 1 hurricane with sustained maximum winds of 75 miles an hour as it approaches the Texas coast. A hurricane warning is now in effect from Port O'Connor to Freeport, Texas, with storm surge warnings stretching from Port Aransas, Texas, to Sabine Pass. The storm is already bringing heavy rains, strong winds, and storm surges to portions of the central and upper Texas coasts. Nicholas is expected to make landfall, then move over extreme southeastern Texas on Tuesday and early Wednesday, and over southwestern Louisiana later on Wednesday. forecasters say rainfall totals in some areas could reach up to 20 inches. And a federal judge has issued a temporary order allowing school districts in Iowa to enforce mask mandates in school buildings. The order prevents the enforcement of a law passed in May stopping school boards from enforcing those mandates. The superintendent of the Des Moines Public School District has already said that a mask mandate will be re-implemented in his district. This is USA Radio News. Secretary of State Antony Blinken gave testimony Monday before the House Foreign Affairs Committee on the Biden administration's botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. John Clemens reports.
Secretary Blinken acknowledged during his testimony before the House Foreign Affairs Committee that Americans have been stranded in Afghanistan. Representative Michael McCaul of Texas called the haphazard withdrawal an act of betrayal.
To make matters worse, we abandoned Americans behind enemy lines. We left behind the interpreters who you, Mr. Secretary, and the President both promised to protect. I can summarize this in one word, betrayal.
Blinken was also criticized for giving his testimony virtually from the State Department and not in person on Capitol Hill. From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm John Clemens.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Here we are in the man cave. We are truly couch potatoes. Are we slaves to college football and pro football? I think it's such a good release for the tension of what we feel so much in the world today. Seriously, that's what I love about sports. So it might have been tense for you if you were a Packers fan, but who dat nation, my pals in New Orleans. I told you New Orleans was going to be a lot better than they were predicted to this season by some of the analysts who did preseason workups. Hey, the Saints pulled off an incredible upset in week one. They blew out Aaron Rodgers and the Packers 38-3. I mean, it was so crazy out of hand that you saw Jordan Love. So if you had tuned into the game late, the MVP of the NFL was replaced by Jordan Love with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Rodgers passed for 133 yards, threw two interceptions, so unlike Aaron Rodgers. Jameis Winston, give credit to him, give credit to the Saints. I mean, he was great. Nothing sexy in the line, but he completed 14 of 20 passes, 148 passing yards, and a career-high 5 touchdowns. So here's the thing. I think Sean Payton was brilliant in what he did with the offense. Efficient, playmaking, just doing the things that you do to keep the tempo going for successful drives, not sexy long bombs. And huge in the trenches. The just, you know, lack of offense for the Packers, and the Saints were incredible. So that was a very big one from the NFL. Also, if I'm cherry-picking, and I'm just going to do that, cherry-pick a couple of them. How about the Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray? I like Kyler Murray, and for my friends in Arizona,
just like my pals in New Orleans, this was a team that I thought was going to be way better than a lot of people predicted. I mean, it's one game, but the Cardinals blew out the Titans 38-13. Kyler Murray was great. Five touchdowns. And the offense and the defense just were tremendous in the effort for the Cardinals. They look great, and the Cardinals could have an incredible season. I really think that they're going to be in the money in the end, and it's not going out on a limb to say that, by the way. So he became the first Cardinals player with four touchdown passes and a rushing TD in a game since, get this, 1962. And here's the end of that trivia question. Charlie Johnson was the guy who did it. I wouldn't have known that if I didn't look it up, by the way. So there you go. Huge win. The Steelers came back from a 10-point deficit. Boy, the Bills, they had a blocked punt that was returned for a score that made a huge difference. So that was an interesting game with the Steelers taking it to the Bills, who started off with a little bit of the edge. Of course, they weren't blowing out the Steelers, but the game started fast because Isaiah McKenzie returned the opening kickoff 75 yards, which set up the 37-yard field goal. So it was looking like, well, let's see what happens here, right? And, you know, you've got, you look at the Steelers, and their defense kept the Steelers in the game because they were struggling offensively. T.J. Watt's sack and forced fumble of Josh Allen in the first half was a big part of the dominant defensive performance. So that was another part of that story. Money well spent. The Bills were just 1 of 4 in the red zone. Again, another reason why they struggled. So how about that for the Steelers and the big comeback there? I think the other big thing was the Browns absolutely gave Kansas City kind of a run for the money, but a scare. But in the end, Pat Mahomes, you know, the Browns led for 53 minutes. They couldn't hold off Pat Mahomes. He is the wrecking machine. 33-29, the final score in that game. The other thing I would point out, I think the NFC East may be a little bit more competitive and interesting than I initially thought. The Cowboys, Dak Prescott, lost to the Buccaneers on Thursday, 31-29. But Dak Prescott looked good after all that time of not playing, passing for 403 yards, 3 touchdowns, and they narrowly lost that game. But the Eagles crushed the Falcons 32-6. Jalen Hurts, another young quarterback, throws for 264 yards and 3 touchdowns. And the rest of the Eagles' offense and defense was really working. The Falcons were a mess. They couldn't seem to get any of their drives together. And the Eagles really, really were able to capitalize because of that. And then there was a slew of other interesting games that we do not have time to talk about throughout the man cave. We'll talk about a lot of these teams, you know, later in the season. But the Dolphins beat the Patriots 17-16. The Texans beat the Jags 37-21. Look out for Trevor Lawrence, though. I still think he's going to be good. The stud young quarterback for Jacksonville. The Panthers beat the Jets. The Chargers beat Washington. The Seahawks easily beat the Colts in the end. And the 49ers beat up on the Lions 41-33. Also, the Bengals beat the Vikings in overtime 27-24. And then what was interesting to me, the Broncos over the Giants 27-13, was the Rams, because the Rams have Matt Stafford, and Stafford is incredible. He was wasted in the offense for the Lions because he just didn't have the right pieces and coaching, I think, around him. He does with the Rams. So he passes for 321 yards and 3 touchdowns. It could be a very, very good season for the Los Angeles Rams. That wouldn't be surprising. College football. Speaking of surprising winners and losers, how about Oregon? They were a 15-point underdog heading into their game against Ohio State. They won 35-28. They look great. This was a surprise. This was a huge surprise. Florida State Last play of Jacksonville State's 2017 upset over Florida State was brilliant to watch. You have to go and see it if you're a college football fan. Texas just done in by Arkansas. They rushed for 333 yards, four touchdowns, and they beat the Longhorns 40-21. Just a couple of the upsets in college football. And when you look at the top five, it's shocking, right? Who fell and what happened? Because you got you got Arkansas coming off of that huge win, so they're rewarded because they're now in the top 25. Alabama, of course, is number one. Georgia's two. Oklahoma, three. Four, Oregon. A big bounce for them. Five, Iowa. Six, Clemson. Seven, Texas A&M. And this is the AP top 25. Eight is Cincinnati. Nine, Ohio State. 10, Penn State. Wow. And the Hawkeyes are going to be interesting to watch, I think. The Hawkeyes have their highest ranking since they were number three back in 2015 after a 12-0 start. I can't talk about the weekend and the and not mention the Mets and their dramatic Subway Series. Always a big deal. The Mets came out with a 7-6 win on Sunday in the finale. The Mets were carried by their shortstop, Francisco Lindor, who played, amazing with three homers, and eventually the game winner, too. So the Mets are now three games back of the second wild card and five out of the NL East. The Yankees are now one game back of both wild card spots. So that made that series pretty interesting, I think, to watch. And then you have Novak Djokovic, who had the chance to make history in the fact that just across from where the Mets, of course, play at the U.S. Open at the Tennis Center, he had the chance to become the first man to win all four majors in tennis. I mean, it would be like the Super Bowl times four. The Australian Open, the French Open, Wimbledon, and the U.S. Open in the same year. And that hasn't happened since Rod Laver did it in 1969. I don't know that we'll ever see that happen. So Djokovic was beaten by Daniil Medvedev, who was just unstoppable, played incredible tennis. I was flipping back and forth doing that couch potato thing between football, obviously, and some of the tennis. So Medvedev wins 6-4, 6-4, 6-4. He wins his first major. Djokovic, so emotional, putting the towel over his head and big tears kind of coming down his face. And good for him, because I think it was a foregone conclusion that even if this was going to be a tight match, he was going to win it. But he didn't win it. So instead, it was all about the first win for Medvedev and the fact that really that Djokovic lost it. And he really came back in that third. He really came back in that third set, but he didn't. He just couldn't do it. I mean, Medvedev is 25 years old, and he is the first player of his generation to defeat any of what we would call the big three players in tennis. So you think Roger Federer, Rafa Nadal, and Novak Djokovic. And boy, again, what a stunner. It was cool to watch the women's final, too, because you had history that was made when Emma Raducanu, who's 18, defeated a 19-year-old Leyla Fernandez in the final on Saturday. So she won her first career Grand Slam, and she became, and this is a piece of history, the first person who was a qualifier to win a Grand Slam. So she had to qualify to get into the tournament. Imagine that. And she did. She gets in, and then she stuns by winning, by beating a worthy opponent who played excellent tennis, too. That was a fun tennis match to watch, a final anyway. And it was a wild weekend in sports. There's no question about it. One last one for you, a piece of history. Dodgers pitcher Max Scherzer recorded his 3,000th career strikeout against the Padres. Woo! That's the man cave.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Howdy Arco T helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
You to Wilbur Shapiro. He has written a book, he's written a couple books, but he's written a book that we're talking about, Amos Gifted, today. And Wilbur has such an interesting background. We talked off the air, and I think you're going to really enjoy him. Hey, Wilbur, thanks so much for coming on.
Okay, I'm happy to be here.
So first of all, let's talk about your background and what led you to writing this particular book.
Okay. My background, I was an engineer. That was my vocation. And I did that for about more than 50 years. And then when I retired in 2005, I was 75 years old at that time. And I had been doing personal consulting for the last 10 years. Now, when I retired, I decided I would like to write. So I began to write, and I wrote, my first book was a poetry book. And then as time went on, I kept writing. And then my wife became very ill. And she had AIDS around the clock. And those AIDS were mostly black women. and they were very interested in their children's education. And that's what got me to write the book, Amos the Gifted.
Yeah.
It's about a black boy who is gifted. And his wife, his mother, Soriana, was very attached to him. And she wanted to get married to the guy that helped conceive Amos, but he refused. So she decided that she was going to do her best for her son. Now, there was a turf war going on between two black gangs, one up here in the area where we live, it's upstate New York, and one from downstate. And they were very, the one up in upstate was very interested in Amos because they needed him to do a lot of the paperwork. And they tried to kidnap him, but the turf war prevented that and allowed Soriana and Amos to escape. And they ended up in a place in New Hampshire where there was no black people, but there was a hospital there. Now, Soriana was an expert in electronic health records, and the doctor at the hospital in New Hampshire was overpowered with these required documents, and he couldn't. He didn't want to not see his patients. So there was a big backlog of these electronic health records. And when Soriana told him she was an expert at that, well, he hired her immediately. The doctor then found out a lot more about Amos and his scholastic record from where he came from was outstanding. So he was able to persuade the powers to be to support Amos in college and in medical school. And Amos became the doctor at the hospital, and he was very well renowned. And this was a farming community, and they needed a good hospital and some good doctors, and they really appreciated Amos and his mother. Eventually, Soriana, his mother, died. And then it crushed Amos to no end. But Amos did have an intern who was working at the hospital, and they eventually married, and everything turned out okay. That's kind of a summary of my book.
Wow, and it's a great summary of your book. What do you want people to think or feel after they read Amos the Gifted?
Well, here's what I think. I think that brilliance is colorblind. That's one thing. And number two, the bond between mother and child is unbreakable. Those are my two important things that came out of that book.
What did it feel like to see this book out there? It's in the world. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you can get great books.
Well,
what's it like?
I'm very happy to see it. but the problem is my books haven't sold very well. So they need a lot more advertising. And I'm working with a marketing outfit now, and I hope things work out. As a matter of fact, as we speak, there will be a screen screenplay of the book Amos, and I hope that we can get a movie out of it.
Ah, that would be wonderful. What do the people say that, you know, after you wrote the book and you go back and you tell people, hey, I wrote this book, what do that people that inspired you, what do they say about it?
Oh, they like it very much. Yes. Most people who read the book, you know, liked it very much.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, most people who read all my books like it very much.
Wow, what a testament to you. And you told me off the air, and I swear you don't sound a day over 60. Tell the listeners how old you are, Wilbur.
Well, I'm 91. I'll be 92 in April.
It just shows you the age is just a number, right?
Yeah, right.
It's just a number.
I don't know. God's been good to me. Yeah. I don't know why, but he's been good to me.
No kidding.
I feel he wants me to do something, but I'm not sure what it is.
So we know that writing is what you're doing. Will you do another book? Are there more books in you?
I am writing another book now. That will be my 9th book. Okay.
Wow, 9 books.
Now let me recite a poem, and maybe that would clear everything up.
Okay.
Okay. I am approaching 92 years of age. My life, how do I gauge? I am lucky to have had a wife that lifted my spirits. Now listen to this poem's lyrics. To survive, there must be meaning in life, or else the mind will melt into strife. So how can we avoid derision? Make sure that you have a mission. I have chosen the English word. It makes me breathe and keeps me spurred. My emotions are loose and not tight because I can sit at my computer and write. I long ago approached an age to retire, but that was not my desire. I will write until I can't anymore because my fingers have become too sore. Prose or poetry, it doesn't matter. I stay away from useless chatter. I am free. I feel good and light. That's because I can sit down and write.
Bravo. I think that's the perfect place to end this. Well said. Wilbur Shapiro, thank you so much for coming on.
Okay. I have just 2 more lines to recite.
Okay.
And this will be on my tombstone. He returns to dust from whence he came, but his books forever will remain. Okay.
Brilliant. But brilliant.
Thank
what
you.
A delight to talk to you. Thanks, Wilbur.
Thank you, Kate.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.